Good morning. Today's reading is out of Psalms chapter 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come unto those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from the old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right, and teaches them his ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who, then, are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways that they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him, who make his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from the anguish. Look on my affection and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fierce they are. They hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Mm-hmm. Do not let me put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May the integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. Good stuff.
Today is September 10th, 2023. I know that's not news to anybody. I think you probably figured that one out already. But I remember the morning of September 11th, 2001. Many of us remember that morning. As the towers fell, as the Pentagon burned, as that field in Pennsylvania smoldered with wreckage of a jet plane, our nation was shaken, wasn't it? For those who remember, that was a scary time. And yet, even in the midst of that, and even with the aftermath of the events of that one fateful day, there was what I believe was an unexpected rallying, a coming together like I hadn't seen in my life and I haven't seen since. Now, I'm touching on this today, and we're going to do it in the context of the verse that Tim read for us out of Psalm 25. Talking about where it is that we find our hope and where it is we place our trust. But on September 11th, 22 years ago, our world was shaken, wasn't it? I don't want to make too much of it, but I do want to say that one of the rallying cries of that time, that coming together and that being united, was the rallying cry, never forget. But as time goes by, memories begin to fade, don't they? You know, let's be honest. Those among us who are young, maybe they were too young to remember very clearly. Maybe they were so young that they weren't even born yet. Now they're here. And so that memory of that is only secondhand knowledge to them. But we come, I think it's sometimes hard for us, isn't it, to think, but what does that mean for us? Or does it really mean something for us to be a people who remember? And if we do, what is it that we must remember? Let's just take a moment. I'm going to pause. When I talk about September 11th, and I know tomorrow's the anniversary, what does that conjure in your mind? Is there either an emotion or a memory that strikes you? We'll just take a moment speak it out. Sorry for the live streamers. They probably won't be able to hear you, but that's okay. September 11th, what does it do or what does it say to you? You know, there was the attacks for those, just be a reminder, we lost not just 3,000 lives on that day. As you pointed out, Scott, there were more that died in the days that would follow related to it. But we lost something more, and it wasn't just 3,000 lives. It was all those families and all those others who wondered, were their relatives involved? A lot of people knew people in those areas. Where have you? There was just a real sense of calamity that had fallen upon all of us. There was a real sense of that the security that we lived under with had been broken to a point where we didn't really know what we were going to be able to do. There was an optimism that we used to have that kind of buoyed us up that was going to be maybe gone forever. But that idea of remembering, and I appreciate the idea of watching that video, of reading and reciting those names, because what are we to remember? It wasn't long after the event, President Bush at the time said that these acts shattered steel, but they cannot dent the steel of America's resolve. And there's something very as wonderful to hear a leader call us as Americans together to hold on to and to be resolved to continue. A little while later, George Pataki, who was the governor of state of New York, said, on that terrible day, a nation became a neighborhood. I love this phrase. And all Americans became New Yorkers. Do you remember that feeling? That there was a one for all for one kind of feel going on, that we were, maybe in the first time in my life, felt really completely this way, that we were really one nation under God. There was a unity that took place for us that was unique in my experience. Sandy Dahl, she is the wife of the pilot of Flight 93, Jason Dahl. She said this, if we've learned nothing else from this tragedy, we learned that life is short and there is no time for hate. You know, there's a lot of things that we can take away that when we say never forget, what is it that we're going to hold on to? What is it that we're not going to forget? Are we going to remember and honor the lives of those who we have lost? Are we going to remember that life is short? Are we going to remember that we always need to be vigilant to try to keep something like that from happening again? But we know that even our very best efforts can't guarantee that events like this won't happen again. We know that. We can't put our trust in the technology. We can't put our trust in the intelligence community. I think that's kind of a funny name, isn't it? Can't put our trust in our military power because that's not complete and it's not total. So what do we do with such uncertainty? Can't put our trust in the illusion of human goodness because we as humans are not inherently good. But we can begin, and I think on days like tomorrow, we can begin to be reminded of all of those things and more. We can begin to be reminded that our hope is not in ourselves and it doesn't come from ourselves. As the verse that Tim read for us today in Psalm 25, we will see that that is an invitation for all of us who feel afflicted, who feel insecure, who feel the difficulty of living in a fallen world, and recognize that in this fallen world, we are going to always struggle with that kind of insecurity and always feel that kind of pressure. What do we do? And we are invited. We are invited in through that verse to look and to pray and to find our hope being restored. A couple chapters earlier in Psalm 20, it says this, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But our trust is in the name of the Lord our God. Is it? Maybe it is when planes fall out of the sky. Maybe it is when bombs fall. But what happens when we get that diagnosis? What happens when we suffer that loss? What happens when we walk through that breakup, that divorce, that pulling apart? What happens when we're afraid that we're going to lose our job? Or what happens when our house is foreclosed upon? What happens when our neighbor or our child is in that auto accident? We haven't heard yet what the answer is. In all of these things that kind of swirl around us, because it's not just on special days that we are reminded of these realities. It is each and every day that we have that opportunity to find where our hope lies. As Tim read for us in Psalm 25, I'd encourage you to go back and read it again today. Read it and pray it through. Do it again tomorrow. Read it. Pray it through. Verse 1 begins, "In you, Lord my God, I put my trust." That's where we need to be reminded to go each and every day. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Jumping down a little bit, show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God. You are the God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. You know, this is a psalm of the afflicted. This is a psalm for all of those who feel that sense of insecurity. This is an invitation to, again, come from that place of insecurity and find again that if we don't forget that God is our solution and he is our answer. When Jesus invited, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden," he wasn't simply talking to those who literally were carrying around heavy packs on their shoulders. You know who he was speaking to? He was speaking to the afflicted. He was speaking to the insecure. He was speaking to those who were riddled with either fears of the future or our disappointments and shame from the past, that all of us who are afflicted and under these heavy loads, he says, "Come to me and you will find rest." You know, it gets asked from time to time when we think about events like 9/11, or we think about events like hearing that diagnosis or losing that dear loved one, that where is God in the midst of these tragedies? And I want to assure you that he is right there in the midst of those tragedies. Just because we feel that sense of insecurity, just because we feel that sense of loss, just because we feel that sense of pain, does not negate his presence. We may feel like he has abandoned us, but in reality, that closeness has never gone away. And so even in the midst of those dark moments, even as Psalm 23 says, another great psalm to read on days like today, remind us that even as we walk through valleys of great, deep, dark shadows, that he is right there with us, comforted by his rod and staff. Probably my favorite verse in all the Bible, and this is a pretty high bar because I've got a lot of verses in the Bible I love, and I know you do too. But I love that verse, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, which invites us, and again, it invites the afflicted, it invites the insecure, it invites those who are struggling with either past or present or future realities that we cannot control. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Friends, that's what we're invited to. We're invited to never forget that this is what we are invited to, and out of this place, we can begin to live more full lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will direct your paths. He will guide our steps if we don't lean on our own way and try to figure it out all for ourselves, but allow him to come even into the dark of the times that we walk through. So I want to just wrap up and just invite him to come and meet us here today. Father, we thank you that you are our solution, that you are our hope, that you are the answer for us, even in the midst of tragedy, even in the midst of calamity, even when our world feels upside down. or the loss feels too great to ever overcome. Father, we pray for your healing in those moments of our grieving. We pray for your comfort in the moments of our confusion. We pray for your help to go beyond the reach of our arms, knowing that your arms have no limits, to reach and to touch those whom we care for, but we cannot. That we cannot touch. So, Father, we invite you here. We thank you that you are our God and that you are our hope. Help us today to put our trust in you, regardless of whatever dark valley we may be walking through. In Jesus' name, amen.